Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Adam and Eve had a third son, Seth, after Cain had killed his younger brother Abel. Seth grew up honoring God. Yet after only 1,500 years of life on earth, civilization had deteriorated into very bad shape. Many children had now been born to both Cain's evil family line as well as Seth's God-honoring line. Satan was very active in trying to destroy God's plan of a redeemer for mankind. Some of Cain's descendants took wives from Seth's family line and so corrupted God's line of promise for those people born of Seth's line. The children produced from such unions were also disqualified from being in Seth's family line of promise. Satan's corruption of humans everywhere on earth during the days of Noah had never been so great. In response to the wickedness of the people of the earth, God was sorry he had ever made humans in the first place. He reduced the length of a human lifespan from 900 years to just 120 years. In Genesis chapter 6 to 8, God dealt a savage blow to humans for all their wickedness. The Bible says that their thoughts were only evil all the time. A 500-year-old man called Noah from Seth's original godly line found favor in God's eyes because Noah walked with his God. God gave Noah and his three sons a job to build an ark. The word ark means box in Hebrew, and God gave the specifications of a large barge-like structure. God also revealed his plans to Noah that a great flood would come and destroy the world and all the people in it. God gave Noah the exact dimensions on how large to build the ark and with what materials. It took Noah and his sons 120 years to build the structure, even though rain had never been seen. Crowds came to see the ark as it towered high in the sky at 13.5 meters tall. The people couldn't imagine rain or a worldwide flood, so they mocked Noah and his efforts. In today's Bible adventure drama, a typical family debates all sides of whether Noah is crazy to build the ark.
And it came to pass that men began to multiply upon the face of the earth. As man increased in number, so also did the evil of his ways. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God sent an holy angel with a special message for Noah. Immediately, Noah started an odd project. Strange things began to happen. For over 100 years, Noah worked on this project until it was the talk and marvel of the whole world.
We are going to the land of Methuselah.
Father, can we?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I've wanted to see Noah's folly and hear him preach ever since I can remember. Yeah. Oh, Mother, isn't this exciting? All the people and things going on every minute. It's almost like a circus.
Well, I think it's terrible.
For nearly 120 years, my sons and I have been building this ark. You have come here with sin-ridden hearts to watch and ridicule and scorn. Laugh at the ark if you like. Call me crazy if you wish. But yet it is true that God shall bring a flood upon the earth to destroy sin and wickedness. Be ye therefore not connected with evil, lest you yourselves be found outside the ark of safety. Before it is forever too late, change your ways, worship God, and obey Him. Those of you who do these things and prepare for the flood by repentance and reformation shall find pardon and be saved. Reject God and refuse to believe His message, and you shall be destroyed. Make haste, repent, for the flood cometh. It is near at hand.
Oh, that poor man. No
one believes him. Yet he, well, he seems so devout and sincere.
Well, there were a few who believed him at first. But after 120 years of preaching a flood and nothing happening, you can't blame people for not believing.
The account of a flood is written into the history of many ancient human cultures, and the result of a catastrophic worldwide flood can be seen in many places around the earth. Jesus believed in the flood just as much as Peter and the author of the book of Hebrews. But like the mockers of Noah's day, there are many people who claim superior academic and religious knowledge in our times today and readily deny that a worldwide flood ever happened. With so much evidence of a disastrous geological event, with fossils strewn around the world, why would people claim this? The book of Romans chapter 1 tells us that basically many people don't ever want God to rule over them. They want to live independent lives that ignore and belittle the Bible's teachings about God, as well as the results of their sin and a coming day of judgment. Some have an attitude that they think that they'll face that problem when they come to it. But just as it shows in the record of Noah's Ark, there came a time when God's mercy was replaced by punishment. God hasn't changed, and again in these times, people are unwilling to believe that a loving God would ever call them to account for their small and hidden sins, or that they need to give their hearts and minds to Jesus for cleansing and instruction. After all, such people think, those people in Noah's day were violent, wicked, and rebellious against God. I'm not like that. It's a mistake to divide up our sins into little, unimportant sins that don't matter against major ones that affect other people. Many people have the idea that they're basically good. They have this type of self-evaluation based on their own police record. They say that they haven't robbed a bank or harmed anyone, so they must be a good person. In 1997, a United States citizen was convicted of bombing a federal building in that country, causing the deaths of 168 people. An old army friend of the accused man gave witness in the court. He said, "I've known this man for quite a while. If you don't consider what happened to the building, he's a good person." Most of us have a similar outlook on ourselves when we consider the prospect of standing before Jesus Christ, the judge of all the earth, someday. We can downplay our sins in this life and judge ourselves by what we've actually done right. We too can think, "If this or that isn't taken into account, I'm actually a good person." Have you ever taken the I'm a good person test? It goes like this. Have you ever told a lie? If you say yes, that makes you a liar. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? If you say yes, that makes you a thief. Have you ever been angry with someone? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that whoever is angry with his brother without cause is guilty of murder. If you say yes, then according to God's standard, you're as guilty as a murderer. The problem is that these failings of ours show us how gravely serious they are in the sight of a holy and all-powerful God. God's standard is perfect goodness, and as a perfect judge, he doesn't overlook any sin. This is why, without a Savior in Jesus to wipe clean our guilty sin record, every person on earth faces eternal judgment and terrible separation from God. Noah was saved just as any sinner is saved, by grace through faith. He heard God's word, believed God's promises of protection, and proved his faith by his works. When Noah set about building the ark, he followed God's instructions carefully. The ark was to be 138 meters long and 23 meters wide. This was a good-sized boat capable of holding almost 1,000 rooms or stalls. In some Bible translations, the measurements are in cubits. A cubit was generally the distance from the tip of a man's fingers to his elbow, which is about 18 inches or 45 centimeters. The measurements God gave Noah for the ark are roughly the same proportion as the large ocean-going ships built these days. God told Noah what type of wood to use and to cover the ark inside and out with pitch. There'd been some speculation about what this pitch would have been. Did it come from tree sap or from coal-based bitumen? We don't know. But modern tests have shown that by painting the ark inside and out, the strength of the boat was greatly increased than if it was just an outside coat applied. God told Noah where to place the door in the side, the roof, a window, and three decks. Although God told Noah all these things before telling him that he was going to destroy the world and every living, breathing creature in it, God also promised to make a covenant with Noah, saying that he and his three sons, Shem, Ham and Japheth, with all their wives, would go into the ark and be saved from the floodwaters. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that God waited patiently while Noah was preparing the ark before punishing the disobedient. Noah preached to the crowds that came to see what the ark looked like. He faithfully warned them about the coming floodwaters, but they didn't believe him. Possibly many of them were in denial. They refused to believe that God would allow something terrible like that to happen to them. Peter, in the New Testament, also warns of a coming day of judgment against ungodly people too. God doesn't take pleasure in punishing people, but is waiting for them to repent, turn to him, and avoid perishing. People easily forget the punishment God gave to Cain for killing his younger, God-honoring brother. It takes only one generation to fail to teach their children about God to raise up a generation of spiritually ignorant people. In Romans chapter 1, it says, God's anger is revealed from heaven against all the sin and evil of the people whose evil ways prevent the truth from being known. God punishes them because of what can be known about God is plain to them, for God himself made it plain. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter of the Bible, it says of Noah, it was faith that made Noah hear God's warnings about things in future that he could not see. He obeyed God and he built a boat in which he and his family were saved. As a result, the world was condemned, and Noah received from God the righteousness that comes by faith. Have you ever wondered why the ark needed to be so big? All the land-dwelling animals were to be destroyed in the flood, so God made provision for them to survive inside the ark too. Noah didn't have to go out and look for pairs of animals, birds and reptiles to go into the ark. It was God who brought them all to Noah. There were two of most kinds of animals, but seven of the kinds of the God-appointed clean animals. These clean animals, cattle, sheep, goats, pigeons and doves, were acceptable for sacrifice. With all those animals on board, the ark was designed for capacity and floating stability, rather than for speed or navigating. Some people have suggested that Noah's flood was only local, but if that was so, it would have been far quicker for Noah and his family to move to another region. God's own words in chapter 6 state that everything on the earth would die. In 2 Peter chapter 2 it says, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Satan has been very effective in turning nearly all the people living on earth in Noah's day to follow his own wicked ways. How could Satan thwart this plan of God's to destroy them all? There was nothing he could do but to start again by tempting Noah's family after they'd left the ark. The Lord Jesus told his disciples that in the days of Noah, people ate, drank, and married until the day that Noah entered the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. And Jesus said that's how it will also be when he returns. Many people won't be ready when Jesus comes to judge the world. But we don't need to fear any judgment. In confessing that Jesus is God's Son and believing in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we can find rest, deliverance, and a new righteous relationship with God, the one who made us in his own likeness and wants us to be one with him. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, everything written in the Scriptures was written to teach us, in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which the Scriptures give us. Let us take this hope and to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For if he lives within us through the Holy Spirit, we're righteous in God's sight and we're saved from punishment on the day of judgment. Isn't God so very good and merciful to save us when we don't deserve it?
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is